All right, welcome members. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam, and it's Monday night, the 30th of March, 2020, here in Sydney, Australia. And great to have everyone on deck. I just thought I would continue from last night's podcast with Jim West, and just to continue to break down what I'm seeing around me. It's the best I can do. It's just crazy times, but always good to be here. Thank you so much to the members for your continuing support in hard times as well. At least we can just keep chatting and keep putting up information. It's the best thing we can do at the moment, and breaking this down, man. Being human, staying human. Ready to rumble. Of changes where sleeplessness awaits. I searched out my companions who were lost in crystal canyons when the aimless blade of science slashed the pearly gates. It was then that I knew I'd had enough, burned my credit card for fuel, headed out to where the pavement turns to sand. With the one-way ticket to the land of truth and my suitcase in my hand, how I lost my friends, I still don't understand. They had the best selection, they were poisoned with protection. There was nothing that they needed.
We are tuned in Monday night here in Sydney, Australia. Kraz Files podcast, great to be with you. And everything's up on the website, of course, krazfiles.com. So keep connecting in there as we move forward. And I just keep posting things and as much as I can, and just keep plugging in and going over all of this as we try to get a handle on what might be happening. Well, no one really knows what's happening, do they? So I think it's just so overpowering and so it's just so incredible what's happening that I can't get a handle on exactly what's going on here. There seems to be so many things going on all around, and so I just have to keep looking day to day and just digging out little bits and pieces as I can, and just maybe some of the stuff that I'm going to cover makes me sound paranoid, I don't know, but I think that we live in this kind of dream world, and it's a movie, and I said that all the time. It's like we're living inside a TV set. They create this kind of weird artificial TV kind of reality for us, I think, and we go along for the ride, you know, and it's a very strange thing when you don't think like most people and you don't buy what's happening around you. So with this whole fakery of this coronavirus thing, I don't personally buy it, and that's just me. I mean, I have family members who believe that there is a virus. They really do. And everyone I see around me, I'm walking around the streets today, there's only two people now allowed out at the same time. And I was walking around today and going around, and people are having conversations about it outside of some coffee shops and things, and they got their masks on. Very strange situation. And I'm going to kind of go over Australia more tonight. I'm going to sort of stick here because that's what I'm seeing on the ground. You know, I don't know what's happening all around the world. I can only just plug in with people and look at that in my news feeds and things like that. But you're just going to sort of stick here with what I know and what I'm seeing. But it is very strange, isn't it, seeing people standing around having conversations like 1 meter and a half or whatever apart and with these masks on. Their hands on their hips, having a chat while they're waiting for their coffees. It's a very surreal situation that I'm seeing. And as society around us and the rules and our whole makeup and everything that we believe in, all around us, everything, our whole lives gets sort of, shattered down piece by piece and day by day to where we are now, where there's only two people allowed to be together at the same time. It's really a strange situation, but for me personally, and this is just me personally, I don't believe that there's a virus. I don't buy it. I don't believe in their viruses. I think it's absolute crap. And so this is just another manufactured virus, indeed. And we go over that all the time. I don't personally buy it at all. And it's not that I don't buy it, but there's room to move. And then like, oh, maybe I do. I don't buy it at all. Not even in a million years, in a million lifetimes, I don't buy this coronavirus fakery. I don't buy it at all. It's not true. And so when you think like I do and you go around and you see these people like I just described in the masks and my own family members all believing that this is a virus, it puts you in a very strange situation indeed, way outside the box, because most of the population believe in it and they're doing their best to help try and stop it. And I don't believe in it, and it's a very strange and surreal position to be in. I'm sure the members are the same. Maybe some members listening to this do kind of believe that maybe, you know, some kind of something was manufactured and released in airborne, you know, some kind of pathogen or something like that, and it is targeting certain people and making people sick. But like me personally, I don't believe any of this. And what I do know is what I'm going to concentrate on tonight. That's all I can do, because if I start guessing and going over too much, then, you know, I don't know where I am. So all I can do tonight is just cover personally what I do know. And what I do know is that it's fake. There is no virus. And when you think of that, and I go out today and you can't get into shops and people are wearing masks, people want you to stay a meter away, there's all these signs up about social distancing, I watch the news every night, the coronavirus, it's this unbelievable over the top on steroids game. This weird game, it's military warfare, psychological warfare, deep stuff, man. They are really messing with the human species now, and it is really crazy to see, because it makes you feel really alone and on the outside. And I'm walking around almost like in a state of slow motion. Just if you go to the mall or something like that, or the shops, it's very quiet, but I'm just watching this situation unravel in front of me. And because I don't believe in any of it, it's very weird to watch, and very, very strange indeed. And my place in society at this moment, here I'm plugged in and I'm where I want to be and I'm thinking critically and clearly and I'm putting out this information. But in day-to-day life, if I go out there in the nut world, I can't think clearly, because I'm just looking around thinking, wow, man, this is insane what's going on. And these people all buy it. They are part of it now. They are now part of this system. It's incredible days, man. Don't know what else to say, but not me. I don't buy it. It's fakery. It's all trickery. It's absolute nonsense, and they are messing with our heads. But this is a big one, folks, and there's just always too much to cover, and there's a lot of propaganda going around as well as to what's going on, and there could be a million things that make up all this, or it could be just a few simple things. So we move on, don't we? Yeah, so I don't know what the listeners are seeing as well, but you just cannot in your right mind believe that this is a real virus. It's a real pandemic. It's over the top. I mean, I can't believe that I'm walking past grown adults on the street wearing masks and having conversations about that this is a real virus. And it really is 12 monkeys anyway. It really is 12 monkeys. It's such a bizarre situation. And something that, with all the money that they're throwing around with the stimulus package, and I'm going to go over an article I just found this afternoon, which I think's important. And before I go there, there's more threats here talking about how each state in Australia are going to be enforcing these new two-person rule on gatherings from midnight. Tonight, I'm guessing that is, because that was 5 hours ago. So we've gone from, 100 people, we've gone from basically, it went a few weeks ago from They stopped sporting events, so people going to sports, and then it went from there, you know, and then it went all the way down to 100 people, and now it's gone all the way down to 2 people. I mean, how ridiculous is this getting? You know, as they move on here, I mean, why not just do it straight off the bat in this country? Why not just say, you know, this is how it's going to be from now on? Because it's this slow-moving, operation where they're just screwing with people's minds and training people at the same time. I'm telling you, I'm living around, I'm looking around these neighborhoods all day. I'm not seeing hardly one person come outside. They're all inside, peeking from inside the blinds. They're all inside, and they've got their computers and Netflix and TV and video games and devices and everything, and they've got all their food and their toilet paper, and they're all inside, and they're almost good little guinea pigs, you know. They're good little slaves in their houses. They've been locked in, and they almost love it. It's a really strange thing, but this just keeps getting, it just keeps getting more. Keep seeing more restrictions, and they just keep making these announcements instead of just doing it already. They're slowly cooking us, and in some strange, distorted way, a part of the human species I don't understand, people seem to want it. And they believe in the virus, and they believe that the police and the government and the authorities and the world governments and the UN and the CDC and the vaccine manufacturers and the pharmaceutical manufacturers and the doctors and the medical centers and everything, they're trying to work their asses off right now to save them. And we're all got to work in this together. Are you getting that? I'm hearing that all the time, that we've got, they're doing this whole togetherness thing, that we've all got to work together to defeat this. It's absolutely astonishing. And there's just so many rules and regulations and weirdness coming into play here. And everything that's going on right now out there, if you go out there, it's such a strange environment to go out and look at. But then when you think there, when I believe in my own mind that there's no virus, it just puts everything on its head. I almost wish that I believed in this virus, because then maybe it's going to, that would be a lot easier for me if I just believed in their fake virus and I went along like everybody else is, and maybe I will survive better, I don't know. At least when a sledgehammer goes over the top of my skull, at least I'm going to be aware of it, because it's going to happen to everyone. Fuck them, man, stuff them. I'm not going to believe in their system. There's just no way. But it's a really weird situation when you watch all of it all around the world, and you look at the news and you read the papers and you watch what everyone's doing and how everyone's acting, and all these restrictions and two-person gatherings and people wearing masks and the shops and everything that's going on, and the economy's being ruined and everything's stopping, the whole planet being stopped like a train. And you take the virus out of it, there's nothing left. And it just becomes this huge training program, this huge drill. It's really crazy. And anyway, they're talking all over the news today in Australia about how these new social gathering restrictions are going to come in from midnight tonight because of this coronavirus pandemic. And it isn't a virus. It's a complete fakery. It's unbelievable. This is the greatest trick the devil has ever pulled, I think, over the eyes of humanity. It's an unbelievable thing to see. This is a two-person limit. And they're saying, oh, don't worry, it doesn't apply to people inside your house yet. but it does apply with gathering with friends or family, outdoors or indoors, and you need to comply with the new restrictions. They're telling you here, you know, what happens if you don't comply with these new things. So they're talking about the different states here and what they're bringing in, and how they want you to be sensible and just do what they tell you to do, and everything will be okay. But they're telling you now the police will be everywhere and out there, so to enforce these things. So I guess there's very serious fines if they say that you've sick or you've been sick or you've been near someone that they deem to be sick. Also, they're tracking people now with new technology they're going to be bringing in. So if you talk to someone who talked to someone who talked to someone who talked to someone, or you have a friend who knows a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend, and in some way, shape or form, they can track that back to you, that you spoke with them a week or two or week, 3 weeks or a month ago, they're coming for you. So this is it's almost like this live hunt, you know, this hunting of the public. It's really crazy. And one of the biggest lunatics in all this is, of course, the Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews. I'm sure this guy is some kind of deviant or pervert. I'm absolutely positive of that. I can generally tell, and I look at this guy and I just think this guy's a pervert. Definitely likes the kiddies, I think. This guy can't wait to get up out of his coffin and sharpen his fangs and get the restrictions in. This guy, for me, represents a police state, a nanny state, big brother, terrorism against the human being on every single level. And he runs the state of Victoria, and the people there seem to love this guy. They can't get enough of him. This guy's the biggest wanker in human history. I can't stand this guy. I can't stand looking at him. But, you know, at the end of the day, what is he? He's a puppet. He's a prostitute for a much bigger system that use him, as this fake representative, this hand puppet in society. And people go and vote and they have him in, and he makes rules and he makes regulations and he puts his glasses on and his suit on, but the prick doesn't run a thing. These people are all actors, I'm telling you. This guy runs nothing. He's just doing what he's told. But Victoria has always been a draconian police state, so he really wants to bring in all these harsh measurements as well. But they're talking here about, which is really, this to me, I just think, I scratch my head and I think, this all these little niggly things that I look at, it just shows you that they're messing with our minds, because here they are threatening people with on the spot fines of more than $1,600. If that is just for breaching a two person rule. So if you're out with three people and the police see you, they can give all of you a $1,600 fine. And that comes on the back of where, you know, this current climate. I mean, here we have the federal government in Australia offering billions of dollars, handing out money everywhere to all these people that have lost their jobs, because the government wants to help sustain you and help keep you afloat and keep you paying your rent and getting your food and everything like that. So we have this situation where our economy's being stopped, everybody's been sent home, everything's just stopped, like the machine has just been turned off, and the federal government are just pumping in billions of dollars to give to people all this money. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're getting all this money now. If you lose your job, if you're already on there, you're getting double the payments. If you can't pay your rent, they're saying that the landlords can't kick you out for 6 months at least. They're giving you all these cash payments, and there's more coming. There's all these waves of payments coming. I don't know where they're getting the money, but it's coming, and they're giving all these people all over Australia all these billions of dollars to help them continue. But then at the same time, if you don't do what you say, they're fining you $1,600. So how does that make sense when people are struggling and they don't have a job? What if those people out on the street are just by chance run into another person, and there's three of them at the one time, and they get caught and they get fined $1,600 each? And these people are talking about how they've just lost their job. But don't worry, I'm going to Centrelink, and I'm going on the MyGov website to apply for government payments, which haven't come through yet, but I've just been fined $1,600 for being on the street with more than two people. I mean, this really just shows you how ridiculous this is. And I guess that it just really is insane. So this is going on all over Australia, Tasmania, bringing in the same rules, the Northern Territory, South Australia. South Australia police have established a new team dedicated to enforcing quarantine laws, social distancing restrictions and business closure rules, and will be knocking on doors of individuals and businesses to ensure pandemic restrictions are being obeyed. Can you believe this? They got these nincompoops coming around the streets and knocking on your door if you're in South Australia to make sure that you are doing what you're told. So this is absolutely, it's absolutely insane. So here we have the framework where we're just seeing all this being built, this big brother system around us, absolutely. And that's another thing that I know. One thing I know is that this virus is fake, and the next thing I know is that this is a big brother Orwellian state being built around all of us, around our minds, and we are being put back in our place. That's what's happening, and this is going to change our lives forever, folks. This isn't just going to go away after this. It might go away in fractions or in parts, but a lot of this is going to stay, because this is the next wave of complete domination and human control. In the ACT, which is the Canberra as well, so Chief Minister there said the first phase of enforcing new rules would be about education, and you just basically, what he means by education is you doing what you're told. But the second phase would include the capacity for police to issue fines. So you need to be re-educated. In Queensland, on-the-spot fines of $1,330 for individuals and $6,670 for corporations can be issued by the police for breaching new public health directions. And so you look at the wording in what they're saying in a lot of these posts, and what it says here, if you're breaching new public health directions. So these new public health directions, are they going to go away when this does, or if it does, or is this just new public health directions? Is this new way? Is this our new life? Because that's the wording that they're using, and that's what I'm getting. Those caught ignoring quarantine directions could face penalties of up to $13,345 or $66,670 for corporations. So Western Australia, another criminal police state, on Sunday, the criminal state government there said they would be introducing urgent legislation into Parliament. Here's another thing that they're mentioning here. They're actually introducing legislation into the Australian Parliament. So if you're out there and you're listening, this isn't just stuff they're bringing in kind of like a just for now. You know, it's not just different kinds of rules and regulations and things that they're going to use just for this situation. They're actually bringing this legislation into Parliament. A lot of it. And I said some of it, like a magic trick, might go away, but the rest of it will just get mixed in to everything, and it's going to stay there, I'm telling you. So you're getting, $1,000 fines for all different things and $5,000 fines and all of this if you disobey the rules. Do not disobey. You sit down and you shut up and you do what we tell you, because there's a virus out there and we're working to protect you. It really is a dystopian science fiction movie nightmare that we are living in right now. It's unbelievable. And it's an incredible situation. I wanted to get up this piece as well. And more paranoia, I guess. I'm a paranoid lunatic, aren't I? But it's really interesting to not only watch the wording and everything. We know that. I know people listening to this know that in the media, the fear that they're using. The certain words around fear, the fearful words that they use, and they really highlight in everything that they say. So we know all that. But another interesting thing, just in the general TV networks and movies lately, it's interesting to see the content that they're showing. They're showing all these virus Hollywood movies, you know, Contagion. Is one, I think, you know, Contagion. Well, that's been on again. They're showing some of these movies, these end of the world movies, you know, where there's some kind of disaster and everything like that. And the other night they had on And this is just my own observations, because I think that every bit of content that they're showing us, it's not without reason. It's all done. It's all done in a certain way. I'm going to go into this in a minute. How perfectly manufactured it is, but anyway, they had Die Hard with a Vengeance. Die Hard, the movie with Bruce Willis. The listeners have seen this movie. It's a movie basically. Oh, I don't have it in front of me. I've seen it a while ago, but it was on just like a night or two ago at prime time. And this is an interesting movie for this current situation, I think. And it's just the social engineering and the programming. Maybe I'm off here, but there's a whole bunch of these movies and things they're showing, these pandemic movies and things. But in Die Hard's an interesting movie to show at this time, because it's like basically these terrorists, and of course the terrorists are European. If you watch those Die Hard movies, if you watch the first one with Bruce Willis, who are the terrorists? Well, they're Germans. If you watch all these movies out of Hollywood, it always happens like that. They're Arabs. They originally started, they were Arab terrorists, but then through the 80s, the 90s, until now, they're like evil white people. It's true. You watch those movies like Lethal Weapon, they're always like blonde guys who are the terrorists. And Lethal Weapon 2 is like these South African blonde people that were the terrorists and evil. And so there's always these evil Europeans, particularly Germans, who are masterminding these terrorist plots to blow up New York City. But in this movie, because it's Jewish propaganda, they run Hollywood. This is what's got to end. Anyway, the movie basically is these evil white terrorists, the brother of this German guy that he killed in the first movie, and to cut a long story short, they basically come into New York City and they set up shop to rob Fort Knox of all the gold. To do that, they create diversions. So they get these two cops to run around the city solving all these weird puzzles. And then they start threatening to blow up buildings, and then they threaten to blow up schools. With children in them. So basically what happens is it just goes crazy, and they have all these lockdowns, and the whole city of New York stops. All the shops are empty, everyone's inside scared, and the police are working with all these other police, and they bring them all in, and they're trying to hunt to find out where these bombs are in the schools, which don't even exist, I don't think. While all that's happening and they're all distracted and the whole city is in lockdown, these terrorists are robbing all the gold. And I just think that that's an interesting situation, isn't it? They show you this kind of content. It's the same thing now. Everyone's inside. There's just tumbleweeds rolling around out there, and you wonder what they're doing underneath all of this. Anyway, it's an interesting movie, and they got a whole bunch of these kind of dystopian movies and things on at the same time now. They're kind of shoving them in there, and there's these new Netflix movies about pandemics and viruses and all of this that actually started in 2020, for 2020, around last year or even in January before this happened. I mean, Netflix, how big is Netflix? It is absolutely huge. It's planetary, and they have pandemic movies before the staged coronavirus outbreak, and they were showing you in the content on the Netflix. So that's an amazing system as well. And looking myself at this whole situation, and this leads me into my final article, which I just pulled up today, and I think is important. But if you look at this situation now, there's just no way that this is even unhinged even in the slightest. I mean, when economies fail or something happens that's bad, it can be bad. I mean, if there was a catastrophic kind of environmental disaster, for example, or the global economies just started crashing and people were really out of work, and there was really this really desperate new system going on, it would be like Mad Max 2. It would be really bad. Anyone can have a look at what's happened in countries before. I mean, have a look at what happened in Argentina. Argentina was always known as the Paris of the South. Argentina, I went there a long time ago before they crashed, and it was like their dollar was even more than the American dollar. I mean, it was like this very sophisticated European kind of country down there in South America, and they've always been a very wealthy country, and then they just absolutely annihilated them. They just reset everything, the big bankers, you know, and they just wiped them clean. And it was look that up. It was a terrible experience in that country, and those people, they lost everything. They just, there was no money in their banks, and they went to the banks and they just shut them. They just put the iron curtains down and locked them out, and they were there for weeks, months, banging on the bank doors, trying to get money, and there was no money. It was just gone. They just made it disappear overnight. And you see some of these dystopian films. I don't know if anyone's seen a movie called The Road. Came out a few years ago, where a father and son try and make their way across America to the coast. It's a very scary movie and almost too realistic, because there, from what I can gather in the movie, there seems to be some kind of catastrophe, environmental catastrophe, and it's just civilization has ended. This is a situation where everybody is suddenly thrust into this game of survival, to just keep yourself alive, and panic sets in, and there's no power, there's no water, the supermarkets are empty, the looting starts, the violence starts, people start searching for food, desperate attempt to get food and get anything they can, and that's when society starts to completely disintegrate from inside out, you know, and then, you know, people in the country in this movie, they have a better chance of survival, but as the cities consume themselves and become worse and worse and just trashed, these people start, these survivalists start spreading out of the cities into the country areas, looking for fuel and food, and you start seeing rapes and cannibalism come into play in this movie. So it's like a pretty frightening situation, I know. But you look at this situation now, and it isn't that at all. When I looked and I thought clearly about this today, I was looking at all this, and it's just everything's just being put on hold. It's a completely manufactured, crystal clear, controlled order. You couldn't get any higher. This is absolutely controlled from the top down to the bottom. They are controlling this, and that's another thing that I do know. So there's three big things that I do know about all this tonight that I've gone over. I mean, this is absolutely, I would get you just to think to yourself, look at all of this, look at what they're doing, look at the social distancing. Look at how the government in a serious situation that I was just describing out of the Road movie, the government don't pay you money, not in this country, not in any country, bad shit happens, man. But, you know, in these countries, America and Australia and New Zealand, I guess in European countries, they're shutting everything down. They're pausing the planet, and it's really bizarre. It's almost like someone's got a remote control and they've just paused it all. But behind that, if I look at it and I think about it, it's completely controlled. Absolutely 100% controlled. Every single thing that they've done has happened. The only thing that they're trying to make you think that they're not in control and the orders aren't being passed down to our dopey, manufactured, stupid politicians, because they want you to think, well, the virus is spreading and more people are dying and more people are getting it, and that's why this is creating all this chaos. But the system behind all of this, all the shutdowns, right down to only two people allowed on the street one time in Australia right now, what's happening, that is completely manufactured and controlled. I don't care what anyone says, that absolutely is 150%. You look at the media, and I said this before, their whole coverage on all of this is impeccable. It is absolutely controlled to the highest order. Every single politician that gets up there and gives a little speech about what's happening next is totally, absolutely controlled. You look in America where Trump's giving little hints about reopening, so the rest of the world are looking at him in hope, and they've got this glimmer of hope in their hearts that maybe America are going to get back to normal, but then he doesn't. It's all manufactured and completely controlled. It's psychological warfare against us, against the human being, to the highest order, absolutely. And, you know, there could be a million and one reasons why they're doing this, you know, but for me, it's like that's like me looking out to the horizon on the ocean and trying to work it all out. I can't at the moment. I can just concentrate, as I said, on what I do know. And that's what I do know. This is controlled. There's no virus. So, you know, that takes all the chaos and the fear out of it for me. There's no virus. This is completely controlled. It's like 9/11. It's a controlled type of demolition. The media are in on it, whether they know it or not. I'd say most of them don't know it. And as I said, Jim West last night, they're just part of a machine. They don't even understand themselves. They're being used in a system because they're getting paid and they've got a cushiony job and they like it. And maybe they're just, you know, maybe they just churn them out of these universities now. Maybe they study to be these kinds of journos and work in television, and that's the kind of system that they're in, and that's all they know, and that's why they do it. But they're just part of the problem and they're part of the machine, so they're always going to be like that. You know, but I myself, and I know the listeners, we are on the outside looking in going, what the fuck? It's really astonishing to look at. Anyway, the last article that I wanted to cover tonight before I plug out is very, very, very interesting. Now, a lot of people would just go over this and they wouldn't look at it. And I'll read over it just a little bit and then I'll recover it and go over what I think is important, because sometimes the things that they say are very, very strange to me and I like to cover them, you know. Anyway, this is ScoMo, Scott Morrison, the Prime Minister of Australia. He's throwing money left, right and centre, and people believe that this is his money. He's like, all right, honey, at home, hang on a minute, I'll just go into my pockets here. I've got $1.5 billion here in my pockets, so I'm going to splash that out and I'm going to... Come on. This guy's an actor in a suit with glasses. It's a movie. It's a con. It's no different to walking onto a movie set down in downtown Los Angeles. And you know, they're making a movie, okay? This guy is nothing but an actor. And look, if he's a good enough butt licker to the New World Order system around him and the big boys want him in and they want to keep him there, then he'll probably get voted in for the next elections, I'm guessing, because he totally failed with the, again, manufactured Australian bushfires and the whole global warming crisis. And so I think this is his way to make up. And he just happened to be here and he just happened to be the Australian Prime Minister when billions of dollars are just being thrown out by unknown forces, and he's the one behind it. But people watch their TVs in hope every night, holding their hands in hope, and they're, what's ScoMo going to do? And ScoMo's throwing out all this money, and they think that he's actually throwing out his own money because they believe in the political system that he represents, and they believe that he is what we call a Prime Minister. When he isn't anything, it's a game. We are living in a manufactured reality, a movie. And these guys play their scenes. That's all it is. Anyway, this is just another one of the articles coming out where the government is giving out money. So this just came out a couple of hours ago, and I picked it up in the mainstream news before I did the podcast, and I was like, say what? So the government is firing out another $130 billion in a third rescue package, and here's what it means for you. So what they're doing here is they're creating dependence. They're stripping you of everything that you have, of everything that you think is real, of your entire identity. They're breaking you down of what you were before this. And everything around you now is unstable and unsteady, and it isn't real anymore, and you don't know who to trust, and you don't know who to turn to, and you don't know what to do, because you've lost everything, and your job, or you're on the verge of losing everything. And they are giving these packages to you to help you get through this. So this is creating this welfare state, and it's creating this whole, what's recreating this whole new trust in the government around us, because we all know leading up to this, in the last few years, when the last 10 years even, you know, in the always building up, there's a lot of mistrust. I mean, look what's been happening in Australia in the last few years, man. I mean, people are just sick of this government. They have been in damage control so much all the time. There's just, I've even watched them time and time again. I've read all the articles over and over again where they're just in damage control and they don't know what to do, because people out there in Australia, just the average Australian worker is just losing interest in them and do not trust them anymore. And that's where you get One Nation and all these other parties come in. But the big political parties, you know, Liberals and the Labour and all of this and the Greens, they're just insignificant. And people are just, they're looking through the illusion now. They're starting to see, they're starting to wake up. It's all murky. It's like, where am I? You know, it's like, and they're waking up out of this daydream and they're starting to think these people are just con artists. It's all just make believe. And if I go along with this, it just lasts me my whole life. And then my children go along with this and their children go along with this for generations. And this goes for centuries and nothing ever happens, because it isn't any more than a daydream. It's just an artificial, animated, ridiculous system propped up to make you believe that it's real. But the system goes on, and that's what it's all about. Implementing you into the system when you're born, through your signing you into that birth certificate, and then putting you through the system. And making your parents implement that system on you, and then putting through the school system, and then through the work system, and into the old age system, and then into a grave. They're using you as a battery. That's what it is. Lifetime after lifetime, we just stumble through, hypnotized by all of this. But it really is a thin wall when you start to think about it and you start to critically break it down. It's a very thin wall, and you just sort of poke your fingers through and you think, hey, there's something on the other side here. What's going on? This is, then you pull it apart and it's like, this isn't real, because it's not real. But this is creating massive dependence on the government. This is re-energizing the people's confidence in the government as well. And also, as I said with Jim West on last night's show, it's also, got millions of hard-working, strong individuals in this country, a lot of them cash workers and sole traders, as I mentioned, but a lot of people, for example, who have never been on government welfare benefits are actually having to go down and get them. And this means that millions of people are now, automatically, in a very fast way, over weeks or months, putting all their details into this massive database that's being built. And, if we do come out the other side of this and things start to normalize a little bit, and you do get off these benefits, all your details will stay there, because that's where they're meant to be. That's a whole worry for me as well, looking at all of that and what they're going to do with all that information as this new technology comes into play that I was talking about on the last show with Jim, you know. All this identification of us and who we are as we get pulled into these smart cities. And here in this article, they're talking about all this cash. So they're saying, and I don't call him, a lot of people call the Prime Minister ScoMo. I call him ScoCoth, because I think he's just the ScoCoth. COVID-19. It's an unbelievable name. You know, that's what I said. This is all manufactured. They didn't already have that name. Operation 19. That's what it really means. Operation 19. Incredible. Anyway, it's the game of life, isn't it, folks? But ScoCoth is, he's about to roll out another massive stimulus package to the tune of $130 billion. And I guess generations of Australians are going to be paying that back, aren't we, to the big bankers? It's all just coming out like water. So, and this is to keep Australians and their jobs and businesses kind of afloat as they struggle in these ongoing coronavirus pandemic. And if there was a real pandemic, that's what I'm saying. It would be like Mad Max 2 almost. I mean, we'd be looking at the end of the world. We'd be looking at utter chaos, but we're not looking at uncontrolled chaos. We're looking at controlled chaos at the highest order. That's what I'm saying. It's like they're running the show and they're creating this theater, but they're paying you to keep you just moving along. So the whole thing is absolutely controlled, no matter how you look at it. He's talking about this stimulus package intended to assist hibernating Aussie businesses and their employees and bring the government spending over the last 3 years to a whopping $320 billion. So they're giving out packages here, $1,500, a fortnight payment to employers so they can maintain their employees during the hibernation period. We want to keep the engine of our economy running through this crisis. It may run on idle for a time, but it must continue to run. Our plan will be our businesses, large and small, right across the entire economy, share the load with our welfare system to deliver these important income support, the Prime Minister said today. So there's all these stages and payouts, as everybody would know. They've even got survival packages. They've called it a survival packages of $66 billion, and you've got to click on it to see what it means for you. So $18 billion rescue package, click on here to see what it means for you. Here's the $1,500 a fortnight subsidy, click on this link to see what it means for you. Again, so creating dependence and trust in the government, and you. So anyway, this article goes on, actually it's quite a long one, and they're talking about New Zealand, obviously with all of this going on as well, and the stimulus packages and everything like that. So there's just billions of dollars being thrown around indeed. But what I wanted to do before I plug out is go over some wording in this article, and there's just so much of this going on. Indeed, there's just so much that I look at and I think, oh, geez, this they're kind of telling you, you know. So here in this article, they're calling it a crisis, you know, in this country. This is crisis, and what I thought was really interesting in this article is how Skokov was talking about idling and the machine, because how many times have I mentioned that? And then when I was reading this, I was like, wow, it's like they're shutting down the machine, not fully, they're just letting it idle, aren't they? So that, to me, straight away, I think that's controlled, because you can't let a machine just idle unless you're controlling it. You turn it off or it's on. When we have a system of chaos and we have people getting sick and infecting others and it goes crazy, I guess it can be a bit like Italy, but that's the media telling us what's happening in these countries. We're not actually there. I don't know. So I'm not there. I can't bet on that. But it just all seems completely manufactured and controlled to me. So, ScoMo says here that, or Skokov, sorry, we want to keep the engine of our economy running through this crisis, through this manufactured crisis. It may run on idle for some time, but it must continue to run. And so this is just incredible. When they're talking about this, they are telling you that they are keeping the engine of this country running on idle. It's just purring along, but it's not functioning properly. And they want to continue to keep it running until the end of the drill gets announced and it comes down through them, and then they stop it. Then when they stop it and they bring us out of this and everything slowly starts to reveal itself back and we start to get back into our day-to-day lives, there's going to be a lot of changes. It's going to splinter off into a trillion pieces. That's a whole nother podcast. But another thing that Skokov mentioned here that I found very, very interesting is that he talks about hibernating, and I thought, that's a really interesting one. It's a really interesting word to use. So he says here, the stimulus package is intended to assist hibernating Australians and businesses and their employees and everybody with all these billions of dollars. And again, here in the article, he says these new packages of payouts of $1,500 a fortnight to people can maintain, this is for employers, to help try and keep the employees on during the hibernation period. That's what he has called this event, the hibernation period. So really, he said it right there, hasn't he? That, you know, they are just keeping things rumbling along. We're all in hibernation. Everything's being stopped. Everything's been just slowed down to the point where it's pretty much stopped anyway. But the machine's still humming if you listen. And that, to me, what he said there, means that this is absolutely manufactured. 100% hibernation. That's a very, and I'll call the podcast something to do with that tonight. I have to. But that's what Skocope said. He wants to assist hibernating Australians, like bears. But when you look at that word and you look at it in this, they are keeping you like this in this state, and they're giving you money so you can continue until this operation has ended, or it comes near the end and they start getting things back plugged in and turning the revs up and they get the motor going again. And nothing will be the same again, but I think that it kind of will be as well. So that's the kind of weird thing, because they're not actually fired, or they haven't really lost their jobs, because if they start the machine back up again, then everyone will be called into work again. It's like everybody is now a casual employee. They're all casual now. So, you know, they shut down, but it'll go again. It's really strange. So this is being kept in that idling state, which is very, very interesting to me indeed. But there's a whole lot of things I have to go over on the next podcast about this as well. This kind of, maybe we are going into a new kind of dark age. Well, I'll read this now because I thought it was a good article. This was another Day in the Empire article about COVID-19. Now, does COVID-19 probably means a lot of things to different people, especially who are into all the numbers and everything like that, but it just seems like all I can see is Operation 19. Maybe I'm wrong. Welcome to the new Dark Ages. It was an interesting article. I don't think I've posted it yet. Maybe people would read this and they think that it's fear-mongering, but I don't know. I am seeing this kind of ugly police state and military kind of police state on the back of this as well, you know, being geared up. You know, and I don't have a good gut feeling. I go off my gut. I'm pretty good. I'm always really good with that. And since this happened, especially today at the start of this new week, I have a bad gut feeling and I don't like that. I got a really off stomach, nauseous, and because I don't know where we're going here either, and it's very unstable times, but I got a bad feeling about all of this, and I don't like it, and I don't like where it's going, and it hasn't got any better. Now they're down to two people, so I would bet that we could go into that full lockdown where you just have to stay inside after this two people announcement, which comes into effect tonight at midnight. Will they announce a full total Australia-wide lockdown? And then when you're locked in your houses, what worries me is at night, you know. I think, geez, man, are they, you know, when you've got the army involved and you've got all these police around and this kind of queer things going on, it's weird to sleep. I can't sleep properly at night because I just think, geez, are they going to start coming around the streets? Do they know who we are? I don't know. My mind plays with me, and I have to chill out a little bit. I'm not scared of them. I'm just saying that it's very weird where this is going, and that's the kind of person I am. It all goes to my stomach, And I get these gut feelings about things, you know, that intuition, that belly intuition, you know, where your immune system kind of is all around there, that center right in your gut. I get that kind of weird feeling, and I don't have a good feeling, to be honest. I'm sorry to say that, but I'm always been pretty spot on, and I do not feel good about this thing. I don't feel it just seems off to me. It's not like when I feel good in a natural kind of setting where things are connecting, I feel off. And I'm assuming, well, this looks, this has been categorized under martial law, and this is from the United States. So in response by the government to COVID-19 will turn America into a third world country in a short order, destroying the economy, throwing millions of people out of work, creating air money and thus inflation, and draconian measures to head off a virus that kills far less than the ordinary flu, will have a serious, unprecedented ramifications. The veneer of civilization will dissolve in short order if practically everyone is ordered by the state to shelter in a place. There will be few people left to deliver, let alone produce food and other necessities. Within the first few days of this exaggerated new plague, frantic citizens besieged the stores, stripping the shelves of toilet paper. So it's not just in Australia, folks, it's America as well, with the toilet paper thing again, canned goods and bread and all of this. I guess we're pretty good in Australia. We don't have the massive population like in America, and we generally, from what I heard, produce about three times the amount of food than we need. And I have seen that in the shops. You might not get toilet paper and things, but if the night fillers, if the supermarkets are allowed to restock without people waiting outside the doors in the dark and stripping everything, you can actually get pretty much everything you need. We produce in Australia a hell of a lot of fresh produce as well, and things like eggs and bread and everything, and canned food. We have more than enough in this country. We don't have a big population, so I can't see any worry there. If there were any toilet paper issues or anything, any scarcities, I would say that would be part of this manufactured process as well. But in America, it says here, you know, there's a lot of people in that country, man, and the big cities there as well. So they're taking all the bread and things. And this is happening as a result of the corporate media hammering out this apocalyptic message nonstop, 24 hours. It goes on and on and on and on. These are the people in the media that need to be taken out and hung in the streets. When the angry mobs get the pitchforks out, they need to go into these media stations and pull these bastards out from underneath their desks and hang them up in the streets. Because they're mongrels. They're just lying mongrels with no souls, and they don't care, and they just get up there. They're doing it every single day, every minute of the day here, and they glamorize it, which I can't stand as well. They're up there like it's some kind of glamorous occasion, and they're just spitting out this venomous fear through these TV sets into the public, and it's making the people it's spooking them. And that's their job, as I said, that's their job. So fast forward to the next month or one after millions of people thrown out of work and confronting poverty will react in the way humanity always reacts when faced with scarcity and hunger, with food riots and looting, and when the violence will start. So I hope that doesn't. New York City and Baltimore now have troops on the streets, and I've seen this as well. It's very worrying. We're told they are being deployed to establish field hospitals and turn commandeered hotels into ICUs to care for the infected, and that's what we're being told in Australia as well. Where, as I was saying last night on the show, this is what's giving me a bad gut feeling, because they're bringing army on the streets here. They're bringing them in, and they're saying that they can't arrest you. They're just bringing them in to make sure that they can care for the infected and turn like places if they need to into these field hospitals as well. But yeah, that's not going to give me an uneasy feeling as well. I don't like that. I do not want to be locked down around a major city, folks. I just don't. I've got the absolute creeps. And I'm stuck at the moment. I feel like if they go into lockdown and then this army and these people start going through the streets or neighborhoods, you know, because obviously if they lock the country down, and I'm talking about Australia, they lock us down, then we're seeing it go from bit to bit, aren't we, as it goes through. I mean, then you're going to get neighbourhood lockdowns, you know, and exits blocked. To go on the freeways, to go up or down the coast or to relatives or anything, they're going to block that, and then they're going to start blocking neighbourhoods, and then they're going to start coming up into streets. That's what I'm feeling right now. And if that happens here, it's very bad, but it happens in America and they start trying to confiscate weapons where you could get a civil war. I don't think they're going to try that in the United States. You know, I can't see it anyway, but here it's a real worry. And as I said, you know, you start getting locked down in your neighborhoods and they start coming up the streets. This is a military dictatorship, and I can't sleep at night. So yeah, that's what they're saying here as well. So behind this noble effort, however, is a plan to enforce an unnecessary lockdown and confront with deadly force rioters, looters, as well as folks outraged over the systematic dismantling of civilization. Many whom see this viral outbreak, whatever it is, for what it is, a cover for an economic reset and the establishment of an elitist-driven totalitarian global authority. What do you think about that, folks? Do you think this is about a financial kind of reset and then the implementation of a totalitarian global authority? A very harsh new system that we're going to have to live in? Is that what's going to be left after all of this? Is that where they're going? You know, posting analysis such as this will likely become a dangerous practice in the months ahead. So this is a worry too, even for what I'm doing here. Talking and putting stuff out because they know who you are. And that's what I said. They're worries because, even being in alternative media, they know your address and who you are and what you're putting out and what you're posting. They follow everything that you do, no matter how small, they follow it. And, you think, geez, they're going to come for people that don't, toe the line in the night. Look at what they did in Chile, man. Look what they did over there in Argentina and Chile and those countries, you know. Look at totalitarian police states and what they do to people in the past. Study up on that. That is frightening what they did in that country in Chile with the Pinochet dictatorship. Phew, man, people just disappeared. Yeah, so the state has long planned for this scenario. It realizes that the asset bubble and Ponzi scheme economy cannot be sustained and the crash will be catastrophic. The plan is to blame COVID-19 for the crash. This will not only allow the real culprits, the central bankers, the Federal Reserve, investment firms and other scam artists and economic criminals off the hook, but flood them with trillions of bailout dollars. Trump's impending bailout of the airline industry, for instance, does not take into consideration the industry squandering billions on stock buybacks instead of protecting themselves from predictable economic headwinds. The big four airlines, Delta Airlines, Inc., Southwest Airlines Co., American Airlines Group, Inc., and United Airlines Holding, Inc., together purchased $39 billion worth of stock over the past 5 years, according to Seeking Alpha, much of it since passive of massive corporate tax cuts in 2017, pushed through by President Trump and Republicans. The carriers seek a combination of grants, loans, and tax relief totaling $58 billion. But news organizations report the White House appears to prefer $50 billion in loans. Airline CEOs are in Washington this week arguing that a cash infusion is necessary to keep companies which are hemorrhaging millions of dollars every day viable until the economy recovers. Trump, the crony capitalist, will spend billions in non-existent money to prop up transnational corporations and banks while sending small checks of a few hundred dollars to citizens as a token gesture. This will only temporarily mollify Americans and will not buy their loyalty in the long run. Two checks for $1,000 or less spread over a couple of months will not keep the wolves from the door. The plan to exploit what appears to be an average virus in order to re-engineer economies and impose a global totalitarian superstate will usher in a new dark age of subservience and privation. The ruling elite considers us little more than serfs and useless eaters, especially the elderly and the underclass. There's been some news going around online as well that I've been hearing about how Donald Trump is basically some people are saying he's taken down the Federal Reserve, or he's dismantling the Federal Reserve, you know, to reabsorb that into the US Treasury and all of this, and I can't find anything on that, so I think it's bogus, it's bullshit. I can't find one thing. I think there's something to do with the head of the Federal Reserve in the US, because this is a criminal system in the United States, in the world, that does need to be, you know, put back to hell where it came from. But I haven't found any information on this. But people are putting it all over online in the alternative media that he has actually done that, and you know, getting the money back for the American people and all of this. I can't find one thing on that. If I'm wrong, let me know in the comments. But what I'm seeing here is the ushering in of a new dark age. And I don't want to be negative, but that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a boot on the head of citizens, and I'm seeing a police state like we've never seen before being brought in here. And it disturbs me absolutely greatly. Indeed. Just on this last one as well from Australia, they're ushering in these mandatory vaccinations for health workers, and that's something that I do know as well. I think that on the back of this staged outbreak, we're going to get harsh mandatory vaccination laws, which could be a cover for something else, I don't know, but I think we're definitely going to get them. So I got this from in my email, I think from the AVN. So they're talking about mandatory vaccination of all healthcare workers bill was rushed through the Victorian Parliament. So this is again Daniel Andrews, who I mentioned earlier on the podcast, sitting up out of his coffin again and sharpening his fangs and bringing in mandatory vaccination laws for healthcare workers in Victoria. And he rushed it through because he's a sneaky, slimy worm. That's what he is, see? He used this situation to rush through these new legislations in regards to mandatory vaccination for healthcare workers. He couldn't do it quick enough. And he's done it on the back of this crisis. So it's now awaiting royal assent, a signature. And then it will be law. So some bozo clown somewhere in the parliament there's just got to go Joe Blow with a black pen, and all Victorian healthcare workers lose their rights with one stroke of a pen. And that's the way it's been throughout history, hasn't it? These people just move a pen along a piece of paper and write something, and millions of people lose their rights and their health freedoms. And this is when you look at this, you just it's incredible. So the upper and lower houses here of the Victorian Parliament regarding the legislation are very disappointing to read, and the transcripts are here. Looking at this disgusting cretin, Jenny Mikikos is the Victorian Health Minister, another ghastly, unhealthy-looking troll. This is the Health Minister of Victoria, and she says here, I quote, "I could say that if we had a vaccine for COVID-19 tomorrow, it would be added to the schedule. To this legislation, we would be ensuring that our healthcare workers got vaccinated as a matter of priority and ensure that our community got access as well." So they're talking about, she's mentioning a new COVID-19 flu type shot that will be added to the schedule. And for everybody, I guess, as well. So the legislation will become law as soon as it is signed. But at this stage, will not be implemented until 2021. So healthcare workers in Victoria have a chance to get out of there. Get out of there. Go somewhere else and work. I don't know what you can do. Just leave the industry, everybody at once. You know, that's the only way we can beat this system, is enough people all together just walk out, you know, and we don't buy into it. But it never happens, and that's the way they always win. This cretin, this troll of a woman, is also unbelievably calls herself a health minister. I don't know where these criminals come from, has indicated that the flu vaccine mandate may be brought in earlier. She can't bring this in. It has to come in now. See, she can't handle it. She wants to bring this mandatory flu vaccines in right now, in this minute. She can't sleep. Look at her. Well, you can't see her. I can see her. This is another one of these iguanas. And I'm telling you, I always say it, but this one, if you look it up, Jenny Mikakos, MikaKOS, the Victorian Health Minister. You look it up and you tell me that that's not a Galapagos Island iguana with lipstick on. That's what it is. I swear to God, she's even in black. She's straight out of the Adams family. It's unbelievable. This thing, the very fact that these things still exist in our modern society, just, I don't know what to say. These people are not health ministers. They have no background in health. They have no idea what they're talking about. They're just criminal scumbags. And to think that they're allowed to bring in dangerous, untested vaccines and make this policy is just unbelievable. All on the back of a staged outbreak. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. So a lot of power there. And also here they're talking about, on the back of the COVID-19 outbreak, is mandatory vaccines for aged care. So we can see where we're going here, folks. I mean, we're all going to get old, and they're talking about mandatory vaccinations for the elderly. So last Wednesday, Prime Minister Scowcove, Scott Morrison, announced that from May the 1st, it will be compulsory for aged care facility workers and aged care visitors to have a flu vaccine. So here you go, folks. So if you want to visit your grandmother in a retirement center, you're going to have the flu shot, folks. And as well. So they've called here to emailed the offices of the Prime Minister, but he's never going to answer anything. And the Health Minister and Aged Care Minister, we were told that the aged care portfolio will be responsible for overseeing this. We did receive a phone call back from Greg Hunt. Have you seen this guy? If you're in Australia and you've been watching the news and you can see this slimy, sweaty character up there, calls himself Greg Hunt. This is another so-called Health Minister. This guy is the slimiest, nerviest, creepiest little spineless, gutless little coward that I've ever seen in my life. He sweats on national television, and you can see him. He's just uncomfortable in every situation that he's in. He doesn't even believe his own bullshit, this guy. He's a real cretin. He really is. He's one of those sniveling rats that I was talking about in previous podcasts, little daubers, you know. That will do anything for their own survival and dob on anyone, they're saying here the assistant we talked to couldn't provide really any answers. Of course not. They don't know anything, you see. But here they are on the verge of releasing, incredibly harsh mandatory vaccination laws in this country. On the elderly, for God's sake. I mean, here they are with these new measures, and then you ring them up and they don't know anything. It's like a hot potato, you see. None of them know anything. I'll put you through to this guy, I'll put you through to that guy. And then they hang up on you. And so obviously they're working on these new generation vaccines as well to bring in, and you've got all these people on the programs in Australia, and they're all pediatricians and experts and scientists and doctors, and they're all smiling and they love it, and they can't get it in quick enough on the Australian public. And here the topic of COVID-19 was also discussed on the panel of this TV show in Australia in Australia, a Q&A program, which I don't watch, but I have heard of it. And this is Professor Paul Kelly. If you want creepy, if you want the definition of creepy, then you look up in Australia Professor Paul Kelly. Have a look at this guy. So it just, I think, can these people get any creepier? And then it just keeps getting worse. I don't want to be around these people. I don't want to look at these people. I don't even want to be the same planet as these bloody people. I tell you what, man, they are creepy to the max. They're all like brainwashed or something. I don't know. They're all just cogs in a machine, I guess. They amaze me. There's no room for movement with these people. It's just, they're robotic in their nature. It's phenomenal. He says we need to be really clear about what the end game is here. So we're all hoping for a vaccine in the future. If we go into lockdown, as many people are suggesting we should do now, this is not a 2 or 4 week phenomenon. It's until we get a vaccine. So they're going to put us in lockdown in this country until they get the magic vaccine and then make it mandatory, maybe. Talk about training people with fear. Please be aware that these are the ideas that are being discussed at the highest levels now in this country, and to make this part of all our futures. So a fast-tracked vaccine may be available in 12 months. And some people will be probably, I guess, willing to get this. I don't know. But so what can the community do, it's saying here? And we have to reach out to like-minded people and have conversations and brainstorm with people and just keep the conversation going and keep finding out what, keep trying to stay ahead of what's going on here. But it really is incredible just seeing this, isn't it? And how this vaccination propaganda and is all part of this new system that's being built on the back of this staged outbreak as well. So I think I did call it. Many times, and that's one thing that I do know as well. To finish up here tonight, it is definitely a big vaccination push is going to come. It really is, and all these ads on TV, the millions of dollars that our government have been spending on these new vaccination advertisements at prime time on national television in Australia, they were already filmed and done before the coronavirus got put out there. So it's all it's stealth organization to the highest order. They're manufacturing all of this, and vaccines seem to be a big part of this, from what I can see, as well. They're going to jab us all, folks, with this stuff, and these people are just getting more and more psychotic by the day. Anyway, I don't think I have too much else to cover. If I check out here, I went over that facial recognition and stuff. I think I'll just make sure I've covered everything. I've covered SCoCove, yeah, and I've covered that. So I'll plug out tonight. Thanks to the members for your support. And as I said last night, if you're having financial situations and it's not good and you need to plug out from my website for a little while, I don't even know how much our Australian dollar is worth. It's pretty bad. It's $5 a month to be a member, so it's probably maybe $3 American. I don't know, and that just gives me a little bit to keep the website up and running, and I wanted to keep it as cheap as I can, but I understand if people have money issues out there. You can go on to log into the crazfiles.com, and then you just go up onto the top right, and the little menu, just go into the area where you can change your settings or whatever, or your email, and it's down the bottom. I had the web developer put that in. I wanted that there, so people would have that and know that they can cancel any time. If you do cancel your membership, and hopefully you can come back again later. We'll see how we go, and I'm just going to stay here and keep talking. It's the best I can do. I don't have much resources around me at the moment, and things are getting harder by the day, and I feel kind of spooked just talking with this current climate, because when you've got army on the streets and military around and they're locking us in houses and you're doing this and you're talking about this, you're kind of putting your head on the line a little bit. But that's why I have the members area, and it's kind of like this closed group where we can share these ideas as well, which is a good thing. And I'm just sharing stuff on the website as well. So, but if you need to do that, yeah, just go in there and make sure you email me at crasmembers@yahoo.com, so I know that you've logged out, and then I can go into the Stripe account and make sure that that's terminated there. But hopefully you can stick around and you're enjoying the shows, and I'll be back soon. Leave any links in the chat room and to the podcast as well. Anything you want me to post, or any comments, or anything you think I've missed, or I may want to know about. This is all about spitballing and just chatting and keeping the conversation going. I'm doing the best I can. There's just so much going on, so it's crazy times. Stay safe wherever you are. Stay positive. I know it's hard, and let's see if we can try and get through this and work out a bit more about what could be going on here. So until next time, take care.